Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
And welcome to this meeting of Exmouth Town Council. We have two public speakers, but we'll start with apologies for absence and then we'll adjourn for the public forum.
Okay, so I've had apologies from Councillor Louise Venables, Councillor David Poor, Councillor Tim Dumper, Councillor Mike Rosser, Councillor Angela Boatwright, Councillor Joy Whips, Councillor Alex Sadiq and Councillor Dan Wilson. Are there any others? No? Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay, so public forum, we have two speakers, Mr. Cathro and Mr. Spall. Which of you is going first? Mr. Cathro. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and good evening, councillors, and thanks for the opportunity to speak. I'll be here for a few minutes. Hopefully you've got my two-page note with 12 bullet points. I don't intend to read through it, I'll just highlight some key features. The key message is that I and others believe there should be a full review, plan and consultation on camping and Exmouth before any more decisions are made. So referring to the note, I think I'm correct, there was a pilot that started 6 years ago now. The locations, Mr. Ennis said at the time, were going to be Ayres, meaning just for a quick overnight stop. But in reality, this is camping, and I think we've been seeing that. As far as I know, there was no consultation on the outcome of the pilot, I may be wrong. Publicity of how attractive and what good value Exmouth is all over the internet. And I would argue in point five that the pilot implementation has proven to be flawed. This isn't a criticism. But we have a list there, which I won't go through, of all the unintended consequences that we're seeing. One example is the three-night stays in the Echelon car park. When I spoke to a CEO, he admitted that he couldn't administer that because his technology wouldn't record who'd been there the day before. I think we spent £250,000 in their own car park, and I think one of the reasons was to improve access to the car park. Point nine, there's a growing number of vans of all shapes and sizes, camper vans, there's some HGVs in which people are camping across the town in residential streets and in all the car parks. I have a brief role as a CEO, a civil enforcement officer, and I sympathise with them. They can't possibly administer what are 24/7 open access car parks by visiting for a few minutes each day. They do a good job, but they'll never manage it. There are daily breaches of regulations, which I see just as I'm going about my normal business, environmental, fire, and climate safety, some of which are very serious. There's a visual impact on the town, which now needs some rework. And coming to my last point, the review should be open and transparent. The campervan TAF, I think, unfortunately, has proven to be difficult to understand what they do, and that's not a criticism. But I noticed that the minutes from the last meeting weren't published, the one from the 23rd of July when I looked. We need a business plan. We need to look at planning law and camps like licensing. Even though I'm aware that councils don't have to follow those rules, you might argue that common sense dictates that they do set out good policy. So in conclusion, I'm arguing that the proposal for Foxhall shouldn't be approved this evening. And I'm also offer my help and insight into how to solve the problem. There are some good ideas. I'd be more than happy to volunteer this at another time. Thank you.
Thanks very much. And Mr. Spall.
Can everyone hear me, ladies and gents?
Yes.
Okay, good evening, councillors. For the record and for the minutes, can I have a show of hands of how many actually live within half mile of the Mayor Road car park? Okay, many thanks. Because I live in Mayor Lane and I'm on top of it. I try and pass that car park at least 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day. Every time I drive past, I see either inappropriate behaviour or something that should be enforced, which isn't enforced. I'm being told they're not campsites, but let's get real. That Mayor Road car park has now been turned into a campsite. We have people with awnings around their vehicles, tables, chairs within their parking bay, having their picnic, having their cup of tea, children running around on their bikes and their scooters. Now, if that isn't a campsite, what is? Worst of all, first thing in the morning, I drive there early in the morning and I see people in their pyjamas walking around their vehicles. I'd like to ask, what type of advert is that for Exmouth and our beautiful seafront and beach? So let's not pretend that it's a car park, it's now been turned into a campsite. I hope the same doesn't happen for Foxholes. Okay, I have seen the problem escalate. It's not just materialised, it has escalated, it's gone from bad to worse. So what we have now is a situation which has been created which cannot be managed. It's impossible to police it effectively, and it just goes on and on. Enforcement action isn't being taken when it should be. Okay, I raised my concern with Councillor Hookway some time ago, and he kindly responded. I know there's some reasoning and rationale behind decisions, but I cannot agree with that car park remaining for overnight sleeping and the problems that it creates. Everyone still hear me? Okay, there are occasions when I've gone into the Mayor car park, which is practically full. I then go on to the Prasse's farm campsite, and there's loads of spaces available. So we're actually taking business away from people at council that should be supported. Yeah? I cannot approve or recommend that Foxholes goes the same way. We're just redoubling the problem, and at the end of the day, two negatives don't make a positive. So I'm certainly against Foxholes going the same way as the Mere Road car park.
Thank you very much, Mr. Spall. Perfect timing there.
I'm just going to make it stop.
Okay, we'll now go on to our business. So thank you both for coming, and as I explained, you're very welcome to stay and take the appointments. So council meeting minutes. Is everybody happy with the minutes? Does anybody have any comments on those? And then we have a proposal of Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to ask a question regarding the proposer and seconder of the minutes of the last planning meeting, where I see the seconder wasn't in attendance at the planning meeting, so I was wondering how she would be in a position to second the minutes.
Good question.
Sounds like an error.
I'll have to listen to the recording and find out which minutes are you talking about? Just the ones from
the ones
in the agenda.
Previous planning meeting.
Okay, so it's the 17th of July.
May I say they were seconded by Joy Wicks, who, as far as I'm aware, was not at that time meeting.
That will be JW being misread, probably.
Beg your pardon?
It's probably...
I would imagine that's JW being misread. So, that well spotted.
Which was mentioned, not your name.
On the planning minutes?
I'm sure it was on the
planning. Yeah, it is on the planning.
Yes.
It's for the 24th, April, the 5th of June, 19th of June...
Okay, I'll double check, and okay, I'll listen to the recording, and if necessary, I'll amend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it occasionally happens that people second the minutes, and may or may not realise afterwards that they weren't actually at that meeting. Councillor Cagle.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just one for the town clerk. Councillor Paul Haywood is Hayward.
Okay. And that's in the Campervan Taff minutes, okay.
I did notice
we
that
can amend that as well, that's fine,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Any more amendments? Thank you both for those then. Okay, so do we now have a proposer to accept those minutes? Somebody who was at the meeting. Councillor Williamson, thank you. And seconded by Councillor Gazzard. Okay, and you were both definitely at the last town council meeting. Okay, that's good. Okay, all in favour of accepting the minutes of the last town council meeting? Thank you. Okay. Right, item three, matters arising. Do we have any matters arising, Lisa?
No.
No. Okay. Declarations of pecuniary, interest and dispensations. Anybody got any interests to declare? Okay, I should probably not actually in the festival and events working party, but I should just declare that as a performer during the festival, I was the recipient of some, well, I'm told I'm going to be the recipient of some cash. It hasn't actually turned up yet.
You were paid today.
Was I?
Yes.
Well, there you go. I need to check the bank account.
Chair, could I declare the same thing then, please?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just to be on the safe side, I thought it was worth mentioning that. Any other interests or dispensations? Okay. We do have a part B tonight, haven't we?
Yes.
So we need to resolve that the press and public are excluded from the meeting during the consideration of items in part two of the agenda, as it involves the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in part one, schedule 12A of the Local Government Act 1972. Do we vote on that?
Yes, please.
We do. Okay, so are we all in agreement? Do we have to propose and second of it? Councillor Cagle, thank you, and Councillor DC, I think, has seconded. All in favour then of that part B?
Thank you.
Okay.
Is it possible to put the part B at the end of the meeting so that our visitors and Councillor Scott don't have to go and come back?
I think it is anyway, isn't it?
Is it the end?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Preferring
thank you. It's under party B. So.
Okay.
Draw your own conclusions to that. What's going to happen after? Our public visitors. We will ask you to leave at that point if you haven't already, but we will have discussed camper vans or the report from the camper van TAF by then. Okay, item six, to receive and consider reports and minutes of committees, working parties, other local bodies, and the town clerk, deputy town clerk, district and county councillors as appropriate. So, planning committee I think you've had some revisions there, Councillor Bailey, didn't you? Or was it the previous minutes?
The previous minutes, I believe.
There was the town council minutes.
Town council minutes of planning.
Gotcha.
I wasn't here myself.
No. Okay, that's fine. So the minutes of the meeting held on the 17th of July and 31st of July. Are we happy to approve those? Do we have a proposer and a seconder for those?
I will propose them.
Councillor Whibley proposed, Councillor Bailey has seconded, and all in favour? Yeah. Thank you. Right, Deputy Town Clerk's report. Any comments or observations on that?
I think it's all self-explanatory.
Yeah.
There is no report from me because I didn't actually have anything to tell you other than what's already minuted in meeting notes, etc. So,
okay.
I think Chetner struggled as well.
Yeah. Yes, but it doesn't seem very long since our last meeting somehow.
No.
Camper van TAF then. The notes in the meeting held on the 24th of July. And should ratify a recommendation that the Town Council write to East Devon District Council to request that the previously requested scoping exercise for fully serviced motorhome parking at Hot Sells Car Park is completed as soon as possible. So this is a resolution for a scoping exercise. Do you want to...
I'm quite happy to propose that.
Do you want to speak to the report? first.
Can do, if you wish.
Yeah, well, I think it might be quite good to hear. I know we've got the minutes, but if you could sort of, while I scroll down and find it. On page 28 of the agenda, I note that the meeting wasn't actually quorate, but Richard Easthope was there and provided some background on the it was an experimental attempt to provide overnight motorhome parking in response to quite a lot of representations that had been made requesting that. So it is suggested that it provides better facilities because I think there's been some disposal of waste inappropriately. Other problems, partly due to lack of facilities there. Do you want to say more about that?
Yeah, I'm quite happy to talk about the meeting if you wish.
Yeah, please. Yeah, okay. Useful.
Right, thank you, Chair. I attended the convening of the Tactical Finish Forum, Expert Town Council, on Monday, the 24th of July. And it was not held by Zoom. Was it held by Zoom? No,
it was held by Zoom.
I beg your pardon. The previous meet, Exeter Town Council, Cabaret and Task and Finch Forum, was held on Thursday, 29th of April 2021. So there was virtually a 2-year gap between 2021 and 2023. When the Exmouth Town Council Caravan Task and Finish Forum was set up 6 years ago, it was a tri-party grouping of Devon County Council, East Devon District Council and Exmouth Town Council. Primarily because Devon County Council are responsible for highways and East Devon District Council are responsible for the car parks. And Exmouth Town Council are responsible for neither. But because this is within the boundaries of Exmouth, obviously we have a common interest. So that just briefly explains the setup of the Campervan Task and Finish Forum. As well as that, East End District Council have their own car parking Task and Finish Forum, where they also talk about campervan and motorhome policy. And also Devon County Council have an introduction of a new policy to do with campervan and motorhome parking throughout Devon. So that's not set yet, it's something that's still in its early stages. So coming back to our meeting, I was proposed to become the chairman and that will be ratified at the next corporate meeting. Richard Easthope and Paul Hayward were in attendance, and at that meeting I invited them to attend with me Exmouth, and I took them around to all the relevant car parks and areas where campervan and motorhomes park. And for Paul Hayward, who comes from Axminster, that was quite an insight into Exmouth motorhome and campervan parking. As we're aware, the van lifers have now been given notice and they've left the lorry park, which is now going back to the lorry park. We talked to Richard Easthope and Paul Hayward about the scope and exercise we asked the previous car park manager to do, and we subsequently proposed that a recommendation is put to town council writes to EPBC to request that the previously requested scoping exercise for fully serviced motorhome and camper van parking at Foxhall's car park is completed as soon as possible. Now this is a scoping exercise for the district council to see whether it's doable, viable, and whether it can provide what is required. So, you know, that's an early stage scoping exercise. It's not something that's going to be set in stone tonight or anything like that. It's a scoping exercise for them to come back to the TAF and for us to then liaise with the district and Devon County Council and so on as to whether it's a viable solution to some of the problems. It's also interesting to note that the working recommendation of Devon County Council's Motorhomes Task Group on the development of a countywide policy for the provision of longer and short-term sites for recreational vehicles and campers, which is something that they are looking at across the board at Devon, the whole of Devon. So, you know, camper vans and motorhomes are here to stay in the bigger scheme of things in the UK. They're very much a expanding leisure industry, not least following COVID. A lot more people tend not to go abroad for their holidays and stay at home. And they found that perhaps if they've got some disposable income, that to buy a motorhome or camper van and travel around is a good thing to do. And that's the personal choice of those people. So we've got one recommendation which we noted from the meeting, and we've also got a recommendation to put to full council that that scope and exercise is done as soon as possible.
Thank you very much for that bit of background. Okay, I've got three people wishing to speak. I don't know which of you, Brian and Mark, have your hand up first. Yeah, okay. I've just had as a point of information, the East Devon District Council, Car Park and TAF, hasn't met for a couple of years at least. So I think it's pretty much defunct. Councillor.
Well, thank you, Chairman. I'll be very brief, and I don't want to add anything to what Councillor Cagle has said. But I don't know who else has received the email this afternoon. I just read it. It came in at 3 o'clock this afternoon from Richard Easthope, and it said, in advance of tonight's meeting, I thought it might be useful to inform you that the group of motorhomes currently parked in the Mayor Road car park have been identified as travellers, and we have served common law trespass notices upon them this afternoon. If they fail to move on by 4 p.m. tomorrow, we will instruct our usual bailiffs. That's from Richard Easthope this afternoon. So our parking services department do enforce where they identify a particular problem.
Thank you. Yes, they're usually pretty hot on travellers who turn up. But they're not always kind of policing people you might call legitimate campers who tend to just come in, stay overnight and be. Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. Both the sites mentioned, which are, Fred quite rightly said, belong to East End District Council, are in my ward, so are of particular interest. And I must say, I agree totally with my ward members who spoke earlier. I don't think either car park is a place to put these camper vans on a permanent basis, because they are car parks for people visiting the town. They're not cheap holidays for people. We're not in the cheap holiday business. The people, we know from experience, they come in their camper vans and they come down, and what they'll spend in action is probably a tank full of diesel or a tank full of gas to get them home. They go into a supermarket, usually outside of the town. They're well organised. It's all on Facebook. You can see it. Tales have come to action. It's cheap camping, it's cheap living. And whatever we do, it's not going to work unless East Devon enforce it. And I mentioned this before at East Devon numerous times, years and years ago and of late, and they will not allow their enforcement officers to work after 8 o'clock because they don't deem it to be safe, which I think is rubbish. I used to work in the town until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 nights a week. Well, I've never had any problem and thought, well, I'm unsafe. So unless it's enforced properly, the whole thing is a total waste of time. Because you must enforce it. Whatever Devon County do, I'm sure they do a good job in doing it. And no problem with that. I'm sure East Devon and the town will do a good job. But unless enforcement's there, you're wasting your time. And we all know that. So let's get the enforcement in place and agreed before any of these discussions, which are going to cost a lot of money, take place. Let's put the horse before the cart for a change. That's all I'm suggesting. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, can I just come back on that?
I'll bring it in a moment, but I'll just say I don't think that you can put in place something when you're about to conduct a scoping exercise into it. So, I mean, one of the things the scoping exercise might look at is the level of charges and whether that would pay for more enforcement officers. So I think that, you know, you can't put the enforcement in before the scoping exercise. Although, we could enforce what's going on at the moment. Councillor Cagle, do you want to come back?
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to add, our two public speakers, I do agree with some of the comments that they've made wholeheartedly. I don't disagree with what they said. The whole point of this scoping exercise, and I understand what Councillor Bailey said, and I don't disagree with that either. The whole point of the scoping exercise is to start from ground zero and look at the whole possible project. And it's only a possible project, it's a scoping exercise. It does what it says on the tip, but we can't scope it because it's not our car park. It doesn't belong to the Town Council, it belongs to the East Devon District Council. So we have tasked, or the idea is to push on this recommendation to East Devon District Council and say, right, scope it and see if it's doable, see if it's possible, see if it's viable. As part of that scoping exercise would be an enforcement process because we need to tighten up on our enforcement. So that is something that's in the mix. So let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, this is a scoping exercise to look at all possibilities. We're 6 years down the line, and we haven't achieved anything from 6 years ago when our good friend, Councillor Bill, was chair of this Capital Land Testing Principle. So my ambition as the chair of this meeting is to bring this to a conclusion at some stage in the future, once we've gone through the whole process of looking at this in a very constructive and democratic way to make sure that whatever we do, whatever we achieve, is the right thing for Exmouth. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And I should just speak in defence of Campervan over this being one myself. When I go and visit a place, I spend quite a lot of money there, Councillor Bailey. You know, I will visit the local pub because, quite frankly, sitting in it.
Not everyone's as well.
And, you know, we'll go and have coffee, we'll go and buy food, and I don't think we can discriminate against people on the grounds of... on the grounds of how much they're contributing to the local economy. And I also point out that in France, these things work extremely well, but they are properly serviced. And I've been to ones in France and seen them. They're pretty basic, but there are some services that are essential for camper vans. I think I saw another hand up there. Councillor Hook. Well, sorry, Muddy. Yeah, sure. Go ahead and then.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I think it's very sad. Going up and down Mare Lane, going on the mare with my newly acquired puppy. I think it was 3 weeks ago, talked to some of the campers that were there, and I spoke to one couple with their baby, and mum and dad, and their dog, and they booked in for 3 nights, and they've been along, and they've been into Ocean, and they were going to the pub, etc., and Nanny and Granny was going to babysit, and they were having a lovely time. And I think the residents perhaps would agree with me. We had about six camper vans there about 3 weeks ago, and they weren't giving any problems. The travellers I know, because we have them in Brixington, and we've had a special gate put up and things like that, because they create absolute havoc. When I went down today, I spoke to the town clerk about it. The travellers are on the grass, and they had huge locks, and they were building fires. And the residents have said about gas containers and generators. These are travellers. These aren't holiday makers. And the ones that are really, really difficult, and you wouldn't want to talk to them, they really are rough. And they cause a lot of problems. And there were a lot of fights in Brixington, at the local pub, outside Tesco's, police were involved. So they you have to be careful. So I can understand not sending enforcement officers in at night in an unlit area when you know that there are people that can be aggressive. So you have that problem. But I think it's a shame if families with the camper van and mum and dad and a couple of kids and they pay to be in a bay and they pay to stay overnight for 2 or 3 days and have a break, that I think is slightly different. I tend to agree with you, Chairman, that wherever you have camper vans, you should have a tank for brown water, and you should have toilet facilities. And so I think, as it's being scoped, if it is just for families and camper vans, not a campsite, camper vans that stay in their bay and behave themselves, then I think a limit should be set on the number of people there. And as long as they behave, and I'm sure the residents would tell us if they didn't, then they should be moved on. But travellers, I think, are totally different. And I think it's a shame that the people that are down there now, and there's another couple that have come back, and I think that the wife's had an operation in Rancourt or something, and she just wanted to sit by the sea, you know, fair enough. I don't see the reason to move them on if they're behaving and things are going well. So I look forward to hearing about the scope. But where the travellers are, I did debate whether I should phone the fire brigade this afternoon, because on the grass, under the trees there, near the hedge, I consider it to be dangerous. So I think if the residents see gas cylinders out in the open and fires being lit, that I think we should encourage the residents to phone the fire brigade, because they're the ones that will deal with it. And I guessed, because it was so clear, close to the hedge, that the residents would be on it, and I didn't want to clog up everyone's phone. That's why I checked with the town clerk. So I look forward to hearing the scope report, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, we've had quite a few issues with travellers, but that is a completely separate issue from the issue of camper vans. Does anyone else wish to speak before we go? Councillor, Dick. Sorry, I've got you on the list. Yeah. Well, I'll turn mine on. There you go.
Oh, thank you, Chair. Yes, so previous to the election of this council, I have been talking to residents in and around our car park, and also at Foxhalls. Residents in Foxhalls have been plagued by people camping on the road overnight and being disorderly, antisocial, and not disposing of their grey water and wastewater. Just simply down the gutter. That's simply not on. There has been considerable antisocial behaviour recently. You may have heard this so-called green bus I absolutely do support the idea of campervans. I'm not against campervans, but clearly it's not working here. There are real issues that are affecting residents, and there are issues about safety. Councillor Chapman has mentioned about the fire and the gas cylinders. Now, if campervans have gas on board, they're supposed to be spaced out. On the Echelon, that's not happening at all. They're all pulled together. And it is a really difficult issue. I have raised it in the past with StreetSeam, and they haven't really got the answers. It would be great to have enforcement officers. I don't think they get many volunteers. And in some ways, who could blame them? But it's the impact upon residents, particularly in foxholes, Mare Lane and Mare Road, that I am concerned about with this particular case. I'm also a little bit uncertain as to why this committee has not really shown favour towards the estuary side car park, because that seems to be a very ideal site in a way. I mean, the Vanlifers chose it, they thought it was a good place to camp, but for some reason they seem to think we need to have a lorry park in Exmouth. I'm not sure we do need to have a lorry park in Exmouth. I think that needs to be given some thought. So in terms of the recommendation from the Camden Grand Town, I'm afraid I can't support it. I do not think that the Foxhill car park is in any way suitable for the overnight parking of campervans. I also wonder about what impact that will have upon day visitors who want to come and park and then cross the road and go to the beach. So, sorry, but it's not one for me. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Nick. Yes, Councillor Deasy.
Excuse my naivety, but undertaking a scope, will they just be looking at the Mare Road car park, or do they look at all the potential facilities around Exeter? What would be the impact either way, if you like? So,
do you want me to answer that?
Yeah, would somebody mind just putting me in a picture?
So, do you want me to answer that?
Yeah, please, Fred. And then
Right, when I took Richard Easthope, for those who don't know who Richard Easthope is, he's the new car parks manager for East End District Council. And Councillor Paul Hayward of East End District Council is the portfolio holder that's responsible under his portfolio. So when I took him round, and I took Richard and Paul round and sort of basically told them about all the different things that had happened in the previous trials at the estuary, not the estuary, the Imperial Recreation Ground. We looked at the estuary car park and how it it's involved back to the lorry park and the coach park, which is a designated requirement. And we looked at Mare Road, we looked at Foxholes, we looked at the Echelon, we looked at Queen's Drive on the end of Walker Point there, so that Paul Hayward and Richard could get a greater understanding of the problems that occur and the issues that have arisen over many years. And I gave it to him in chapter and verse. I think I've probably had the experience over the years of not being on that committee, but I've been in this meeting arena where it's been discussed at great length. So it's down to them to go back and scope the whole issue. Now, they're responsible for Mare Road car park, they're responsible for Foxhole's car park. It was proposed by a county councillor to use part of Foxhole's car park, not the whole car park, but part of the car park, because it's already got resources in that car park. And you know, it's got to look at the cost you know, against provision. So it was proposed by a county councillor for that to be scoped by the previous car parks manager 2 years ago. He didn't do it. So it's been re-asked by this town council or this committee through the town council get them to rescope it again, so that they can look at it again and see whether it's viable, doable, and all the rest of it. Now that will impact on the other car parks, of course it will. So it's to look at that as well, to look at Mail Road, because ultimately there is no facilities to empty their sewage waste, their grey waste, and get water or electric. So some of those, most homes may be self-sufficient, but if you fill up your toilet waste, you've got to empty it somewhere. If you fill up the grey waste container, you've got to empty it somewhere. I know that from experience. And it's not available in this town. You can only empty, if you wanted to empty your grey water, you can open it up. I'm not saying you can, but people open it up over a drain. Or they open it up as they drive down the road. Or they go to a public convenience and empty their grey waste, their toilet waste container into a public convenience. That's not acceptable either. So the whole point of this scoping exercise is to say to district council, go away, it's your car parks, come up with some plans, come up with some costs, and then come back to us so that we can talk. Devon County Council and us and district council as a collective to look at it at the next stage. So it's going back probably to the ground floor, as it were, just to start again.
Yeah, thank you. And that, I mean, it's possible that the scoping exercise will conclude that, you know, we shouldn't do it.
And then you're left with a problem for
everything. Absolutely. And I'll just say, I think the estuary car park, which I think was mentioned, Andrew Ennis, always the previous car park's manager, always had ideas that that might become a sort of campsite, but Ed Friedman planning has always been dead against it because of the sensitivity of the site and its proximity.
Well, it doesn't work with
a triple SI, and Councillor Bailey, and then I think we'll.
Pauline hasn't spoken yet.
Actually, there's at least two, because I think Councillor Gazzard has his hand up because he's on my list. Okay.
I've got a question, actually. If the meeting wasn't corporate, then how can we do a recommendation? Because if the meeting's not corporate, it's usually abandoned. I'm just asking the question because
it was the second attempt to have the meeting and there was some urgency to it. So because it's a working party and it's not a committee, it's this meeting that will endorse the recommendation. So it's come forward from the working party, but it's academic whether it's court or not, because they're not making a decision in their own right. That's why it's come to full council. So the decision will be made tonight.
So according to this, now what we're going to vote on, this is only about Foxhall's car park.
It's
to scope what was proposed by Councillor Challen 2 years ago at Foxhall's car park. But I've also asked them to look at the wider aspect.
So you could expand, because if you support this recommendation, I will have to write to the district council to ask them to complete that scoping exercise that was requested 2 years ago. You could expand that to say that you want that scoping exercise to cover the Mare Road car park as well and Estuary Side. I mean, Councillor Davies said, I don't think the district council's supportive of Estuary Side because of the triple SI status. It's in the coastal preservation area. But we could tweak the recommendation because it's coming from full council, and we could ask them to look more holistically at it.
Yeah, we certainly can do, and I think that's something for you and I to put together.
Okay, shall we amend that recommendation then? We could just add scoping exercise for fully serviced motorhome park.
You could take out Foxhall's car park.
Well, I was going to say
and alternative sites looked at, or
okay.
something like that.
And all alternative sites.
Because that was the resolution of the camper van TAF, but we could ask.
It was to scope foxholes, because that was a proposal by council that changed 2 years ago.
Yeah. But if shall we include in that then that they include
alternative sites?
They've already agreed to do that.
Yeah.
All car parks.
And it's a formality. They've agreed to do that. They told me that.
Okay, that's fine. Well, if we make sure that appears in the recommendation in some form, perhaps we can delegate that to Councillor Cagle and the town clerk.
Chairman, can I quickly come in here?
Yep.
I seem to remember Councillor Nash, when he was chair of this town, talking to Liverton Business Park.
I don't recall that.
No, I think it was before your time.
So the camper van TAF was set up during my time, but that was never...
Then this was on transport, because he had a camper van.
Right.
And he was looking at that for lorries. Not coaches,
no,
but for the lorries that come into Exmouth. Because he said, coming into Exmouth and seeing a car park full of lorries, you could understand why the coaches are there, because they're bringing people in. But the lorries don't need to be there. And they were looking at Liverton, and I don't know what happened to that. So that is in the history as well. I don't know what happened.
I'm aware that Liverton were involved in discussions regarding overnight bus parking.
Yeah.
When Stagecoach, when the bus depot closed. But I'm not aware of anything else.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's not... We're discussing camper vans at the moment. Councillor Gazzard, I think I saw your hand up again. Did you want to speak?
Yeah. Oh, it's called red. It should be green, shouldn't it?
No, that's okay.
No, that's
okay. Okay. I'm not used to this. I'm really pleased that we're talking about camper vans, not travellers. Because, as it's been said, it's been going on for a long time. But I can recall, and some members here can recall attending a meeting where the mayor car park was supposed to be scoped out, and this is probably where the 2 years comes in, right? And that was supposed to be scoped for exactly what you described on that. But I'm happy to move the amendment if Councillor Cagle is happy that it includes other car parks as well.
Mm.
Rather than just picking fox up.
It is already there. I promise you, it's already there.
Yeah, but I'm just... Sorry. Right. I just want to see it in black and white on a bit.
That's
fine.
Yeah.
Okay, but,
I think we've suggested amending the recommendation there.
Yeah.
So
you'll need a proposer and a seconder for the amendment, and then you'll need to vote on the amendment.
I'll propose it as I suggested.
Okay.
So Councillor Stott's proposed.
Councillor Gazzard seconded. He's just
been seconded. Okay. Shall we vote on that first, and then I'll bring you in, Brian, if you like. Let's vote on that amendment then. We have a proposer and seconder, so all in favour? Okay.
Just for the record, can you, anybody against, can you raise your hands? And any abstentions? Okay, that's carried, thank you.
Okay, so we've got one against, three abstentions there, I think. Okay. Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. It's been mentioned several times about the estuary car park and the truck park. As Fred did mention in passing, I don't know if people were really paying attention, it is a policy of the Transport Ministry of this country to encourage and support truck parks in towns, especially towns which are at the end of the road, so to speak. They're not on a destination to anywhere else, they are the destination. And having spent 30 years as a long distance international truck driver, I know how important these things are. They are, as you mentioned earlier, in France, it's not a problem, they're everywhere. So if we can adopt the idea of a fridge with a camper van, I'm sure we can adopt them for trucks, because everything comes on a truck. it doesn't go directly on the truck, it doesn't come. It's as simple as that. And you need facilities for the truck drivers to spend overnight, and to eat and to drink, and to have toilet facilities, which they've got there. So I think it's very important. If we're going to use that for anything else, I don't think it's on, as Fred will know, it's against the policy of the government. So it's not to be recommended. Thank you, Chair.
Well, let's not preempt the scoping exercise. We're discussing camper vans here, not lorry parks.
We're discussing a camper van on the lorry park, which is now a lorry park.
No, we're not. It would be included in the scoping exercise, but I think it's highly unlikely to happen anyway.
Can I just say, Councillor Hayward and Mr. Richard Easthope, so it's now going back as a lorry park, and that's it. The machines are in, the signage is up, it's a lorry and a coach park.
That's very good news, Fred.
So that's what was told to me.
Good, thank you. That's clear. Thank you, Chair, for seeing that.
Okay. Right, so we now have an amended motion that letter to East Devon District Council. So I think we need to vote on the actual motion now, don't we? We agreed the amendment. So we need a proposer and seconder for the substantive motion. Let's do Councillor Gazzard and Councillor Scott the other way round. And all in favour? Okay, those against? Two and abstentions? Three. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm just thinking, Councillor Scott is here, before we go through the other working party reports, I'm just wondering if we should bring Councillor Scott in now.
That's fine.
Save you sitting around, Richard. Thank you for being present for that. And if you want to update us on what DCC is doing about camper vans, well, we'd be very happy to hear you. Thank you for coming. You're much appreciated.
As usual, I'll be taking questions. In terms of your update, Councillor Cagle mentioned Devon County having a Devon-wide policy on motor homes. It's not the case. There was a screening task force and corporate infrastructure to look at whether a Devon-wide policy would be appropriate, and the answer is no.
That's what I was saying. I didn't say it was a policy in place.
There'll be no investigation from
No, I read what was in the document.
Okay. So basically, it'll be left to individual areas to decide. The reality of being able to is different to advocate. So to have one policy that than I don't think it works.
Okay.
Questions?
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Councillor Scott? Councillor.
Sorry, but I couldn't even hear a word you said. What were the band playing in the background?
It's, I don't know.
It's just the music that accompanies me over there. So the question was about Devon-wide policy on motorhomes and what we want. So it'd be distinct and bespoke to wherever the issue is or whatever people know the solution to be. So what we want policy and one size fits all.
Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Gazzard, you have a question?
Thank you. This is a criticism, Richard, at all, but the topic at the moment is permits and the difficulty that people are having doing it online. It's taken them over an hour to get all their information online, and sometimes, whether it's their end or Devon County's end, it's just dropping off, so they haven't gone back in and start again. And there's confusion about the visitors' tickets as well. So, could you just give us a brief update, if you could, please?
Thank you.
Any more questions? Any more questions? Go on, Laura.
Thank you, Richard. I was at a meeting this morning and the gateway came up, and the people want to know, are we going to have a proper consultation for the members of the public to go to? I know you have the one at the LED, that are you going to do another one for other people to come and put their ideas forward, please? Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Councillor Scott.
Have you any idea when any of the potholes are going to be filled? Because it's getting worse. And the thing is, the potholes are on the main road, and somebody's going to get killed before it's finished. I mean, the potholes have been there over a year in some places, right in the middle of the traffic lights. There's several of them. And it's no good putting it online, because I heard back along that you're scrubbing with those, you've got too many online. So, I'd like to know, thank you.
Well, I think we've got everybody's favourite topics covered there, I think. residence parking.
Go for it.
Potholes.
Go for it.
It is always interesting, to be fair, our £1.8 billion budget, we always end up going back to highways, which is ironic with the amount of things the authority does over and above highways. I'll go in reverse order, so reporting on highways, what you do need to do, they're not being scrubbed, they get triaged and then they get resolved in order of importance. So, in terms of the polls that you're talking about, I'll be giving a specific example, just send me an email tomorrow and we'll get it looked at. I understand the point you make about polls, but if you say it's getting worse, it's not correct. The numbers that are existing now are longer than they were in January, February and March. So we are still a lot of things that need resolving. The next way it is we're doing is patching. So further polls are great, but realistically we need to cut it out and need to patch it properly afterwards, otherwise the water just gets back in and it kicks it back out. So pole repairs is not actually the answer, patching is the answer. You also need to have dry weather. So the issue that the authority's been having this year is the amount of rain. So Captain Gaslight asked at the last meeting when Moorfield is going to be done. Moorfield will be put back because the programme's been made. So things like surface dressing, micro asphalt, they get denied, by the way. So I don't agree, it's worse. There are still things that need to be done. Council Bailey, I suppose you'd have to define to me what a proper consultation is, because as far as I understood, there's one going on. Perhaps if you're not content with how that consultation's run, that's a different conversation. But I believe Councillor Whibley, you emailed in last week asking for the consultation to be extended, which it won't be. Without having all the details off the top of my head, in terms of how the consultation's gone on, we sent letters out to residents locally, it's online, there's been physical events. Before we actually bid for the money, there's a consultation as well. In terms of managing your expectations on the consultation, I'm sure the clerk will agree and support the point I'm making. When you make a bid for money, there's not a great deal of room to actually amend what you bid for. So what's gone in will be pretty much what comes out. There are things that can be changed, but I think some people are thinking that the consultation's going ahead and you can take everything out and redesign it. The DFT won't allow that to happen because they're not accepting the bid based on the designs that were sent in. They're not detailed designs, they're indicative designs. But there won't be wholesale changes to what was originally proposed in terms of what goes on at the gateway. But I'll add my opinion in terms of the importance of the consultations. Dinners, the game in town, the gateway secondary to that. So the link road's the most important part of my gateway. Yes, please.
So, when I spoke to Hannah Clark at the Leisure Centre, and this is what I reported at the COLP meeting this morning that Councillor Bailey's referring to, she did say that there would be further formal public consultation later this year. She said that the drop-in events were designed to be sort of a less formal sort of information gathering, but there would be formal public consultation later this year. And it does say that on the website. It says we're planning to hold a formal public consultation on more detailed and specific proposals later in the year. But we haven't got any timing on that.
The land requisitions are not done yet. And you've also got the concern we have with the original proposals for consultation around the town centres, and you can include the rest of Exmouth on going out wider. So the proposal would be later to hold events further out in Brixington, for example. People will come and look at what the designs are. But it's more the question of how long a proper consultation is. I think sometimes in my experience, I've been a county councillor for 6 years. I tend to find people that argue because intentions not problems because it's not necessarily my their opinion. There's a difference. There have been some consultations lately, but the county council didn't particularly handle them well. Those consultations were around things like homelessness, etc. And they've got a lot of lessons from that and in the future. I don't think that's the case with the gate. What we did. Councillor Gazzard, reference permits. Yes, there has been issues. I've been told there are no issues now. If you're telling me that it's dropping out, I'll feed that back into the consult of WSP that's within the programme at the minute. I'm already aware of one resident that's struggling to get permits for a particular reason who's contacting us. After that, I'm assured that he's working. But I'll chase it.
Two hands up simultaneously. Councillor Chapman and Councillor Bangor.
Richard, I understand last time we heard from you that there was a budget put forward to help children with learning disabilities and expand on that. How's it going? Can you give us an update, please?
Thank you, Richard. You did mention that the priority with this levelling up is Din and Wang. Now, what happens if, due to inflation, it's ravaging away at the moment, the price of the Din and Wang goes up, and there's not enough money in the original funding to do both? I would hopefully assume that Din and Wang would get priority and still continue, or would the whole thing collapse? Thank you.
Okay, so yeah, you're right. If the cost comes in above what the money is, then realistically they'll have to go back to the DFT and ask them more. There'll be a possibility of funding some through the county council, but you need to remember that the county council is actually capital budget. Per year is approximately $3 million. And that's for all of Devon. The rest of it is what it's bid for and won. It's not a case of did it get done with Gateway Road, because again it was a bid together. So you've got to involve, you can't just build the thing and say we forget about that bit. Again, the DFT will accept that.
If the finance was to, for Din and Wang was to match the original funding, because that, the town centre was an add-on to get the price that wasn't to match the original funding, that's the priority.
My priorities did it.
Yes.
But it always has been. In terms of the money for it, the cost of it's gone up over several years. If I remember when I came down here, it was about $12 million. Is what I heard. And it's gone up and gone up again. In terms of building it, when you get on building, we'll see how far the money goes. But there are many issues around the country where authorities are having to go back to the DFT, or whichever department is giving the money out and ask for more. Because you are right, construction materials have gone up quite a lot. As it stands, can we build it for that amount of money? We'll see.
Yeah, okay, right, thank you.
In relation to Councillor Chapman, I'm not sure what it is that you're asking or what it is that I've said previously.
I thought there was some money put in the budget to help social services with the children that were having that have learning disabilities. And I understood that County Council had put some more money forward to assist with this.
Okay, so I think what you're actually referring to is the increase in the budget. So the budget increased for children's by 18%, which is a double digit increase in adults. And I don't know if you've seen that John Hart has actually split the portfolio in children's and appointed a new councillor to just look at SEND.
Yeah.
That's Council Samuels from Wolverhampton. So, I mean, the reality is SEND, the spending on SEND is out of control. It's out of control of Devon, it's out of control of everywhere else. You could argue, which I'm not a fan of, that government sets rules and end up funding. My personal view is, it's your house, you deal with the issues that you've got to deal with. And if you look at some of the reasons why the funding is perhaps not going where it needs to in terms of how how it's used is we're not doing the assessment quick enough, and we're not doing manually. So there's a lot at stake and a lot of plates, and but the reality is we can't carry on spending year on year on set like we are doing now. And if you look at part of the reason why, the county council is not an adults and children's service, it's a county council. There aren't a lot of services. So we have the highways and the corporate, there's the economic, and it can't become, and we can't allow it to become an adults and children's service. So if you look at benchmarking, no authority is the same as Devon's, because by the nature of everywhere being different, they just are. So we got to find an authority that may be pretty similar in terms of rurality, so Cumbria can be a good example, and then you find out how much Cumbria spends on both the services, the percentage of its budget, and where we're at is Devon spends more.
Yeah.
So, you know, the same budget has to be controlled and contained. I'm not particularly inclined to support any increase in education or children's next year to compensate for the fact they can't control their spending or control the budget in line with expectation.
We don't get as much as that. Sorry, Trev. We don't get as much as other places, though, per head, do we?
And you're talking, that's apples and pears, but you're talking about there, you're talking about grant allocation for children through schools.
Yeah.
That's a different conversation.
Are they not similar?
No. So effectively that money comes in and goes straight back out. So normally the county council has that money, but it comes in and goes straight to the school, and it's a fixed amount per child. I think the point you're making is that Devon is at the bottom of the league table in terms of what the average is.
Mm. Okay.
So to corroborate that as an ex-teacher, my head always said that we didn't get as much
perfect. It's not right.
Actually,
it?
Don't worry about it. No problem,
okay.
Actually.
Councillor Stock.
I was just going to ask how resident parking was going. Is it a sore subject? I don't know. I mean, I've heard so much on Facebook that I just wondered some people have thought no parking up.
It's not a sore subject at all. It's a subject that involved a lot of conversations and dialogue from residents into myself and Jeff and into the authority. So there are elements of it that the authority has not done great in implementing. There is, in some respects, confusion among residents about what they're expecting. Without naming, the conversation that I had yesterday was why are they putting the scheme in without consultation, even though they had an invite to the consultation and declined to take part? I can't really help you if you don't want to take part in consultations, unless you have an opportunity to decide what happens where you live. I think realistically, we look at how the scheme's been developed, and there's some of you in this room that affect, if you look at the likes of, well, you should look at your road. On road, etc., you're not in the permit scheme at the moment. You know, the correspondence that I'm receiving and the phone calls, of which I had two before I came here, was the one to be included in the permit scheme. Unfortunately, the decision we took at the time was to support it, too long to do so. So it's going to evolve over time. There are positives and negatives. I've seen a lot of posts on Facebook today where residents are extremely happy with it. And we'll see where it goes. Is it universal or is it? Will it be? No, it won't. The one thing I would say to you is it's not going out. It's going to evolve. It may widen into different areas of the town, but I think some people are expecting that we're going to remove the permit schemes. It's in, and it's not how we deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not causing me an headache.
No,
it's just part of the day job.
It's probably causing an headache for some residents. Some of them.
Possibly, but for others, they're happy about it.
Yeah, no,
it's on a trial in any case. Isn't it meant to be a trial for so long?
So again, this is my point of making about misunderstanding what the decision is and what's actually happened. It's not a trial. The decision's been made. It's been implemented. It's sealed. It's law. What the part you're referring to is a review of how the actual scheme's working, which was set for December. I don't think now that it's been implemented in August, I'll give enough time to review it, 4 or 5 months, to understand what's going well and what isn't. I don't think it'll work. I think likely we'll move that review back like I said, the emails and the phone calls I'm getting from areas that don't have it is now more. We'll see.
Any more? Thank you. Yes, any more questions for Richard before we let him go? Or you're welcome to stay, Richard.
You're off for your tea, aren't you?
Well, unfortunately, Chairman, I've got a governance review to go through. I respond to that this afternoon, so I'd love to stay.
Well, if your day's been anything like mine, then we've got a lot to do.
Yeah. Every day the same.
Yeah.
Councillor Wimby, if you want to ask me a question offline, feel free to contact me.
No, it's fine. It was just something about education funding and things like that. It's not important. It's not pertinent to what we've got to talk about tonight, so don't worry about it. But I will if I ever need to, don't worry. Cheers.
Hey, thank you very much, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
Okay,
thank you, Richard. Good to see you. You're welcome.
So, yeah, thanks for coming. We can move on then to the Climate and Ecological Emergency Working Party. Notes of the meeting held on the 25th of July. Councillor Dumper isn't here to present those minutes, so I'll just...
They're just for noting anyway.
Okay, so we don't need to vote on those. Okay, any questions on those? Okay, the community organisation liaison panel, notes of the meeting held on the 17th of July, those are attached. Any comments on that? No, nope, those are for noting as well, aren't they, Lisa? Yeah. And the Festival and Events Working Party, notes of the meeting held on the 13th of July. Those are also attached. Any comments on those? No? Nope. Good then. Okay.
The banners advertising the festival is still up.
Yes. Yeah, so we have to apply for a highways licence to take them down. And we applied for a highways licence, which was granted, but the contractor wasn't able to take them down because of adverse weather, high winds. So we've had to apply for another permit to take them down, and they will now be taken down at the end of this month. So not ideal, but out of our control. We've also struggled with the new date with getting a cherry picker. I think they're all booked out, so... We are aware, Andrew. We are on the case.
Yeah, well spotted. Paulie.
Well, I'd just like to say that my friends that did so much work for the festival, and that I've heard back from lots of residents and saying how good it was, and it was nice that it was in different venues. And that made more work for us. But at the end of the day, I think it was very well received. And if you put all those people together, that would have been a bigger crowd than what we had on Imperium. You know, if you put all the different places together at the time, it was very well. And I think some sort of credit should be given to the...
To Jess. To Jess.
To you as well.
To Jess.
Yes, to you as well, to all the staff.
Thank you. So we will have a wash-up meeting at the next Festival Events Working Party. So if you do have any feedback and you want to feed that into the wash-up meeting, that would be welcome. Good, bad points, things you think that we can improve on, so that we can build on that success for next year. Thank you.
I think the staff should be included in that as well, because they've put a huge amount into... making that weekend a success, and there were challenges about having three different venues, but I've had fantastic feedback from the people I've spoken to as well, so thanks for that. Okay, moving on to the Flooding and Land Drainage Working Party. Steve, I think you're the new chair of that one?
No, it's not at the moment.
No. Oh, right.
No, in fact, I chaired it in the end. Well, it was funny. Because it was a Zoom meeting, what happened was Tim Dumper actually started off the meeting, then he lost contact, and so I had to take it over. So, yeah. So nobody's the actual chair at the moment. It's brilliant.
Okay, thank you. We can just note those, unless anybody's got any comments on those. No?
Reports from members who represent the council on outside bodies, so placemaking an expert town and seafront group. There were some fairly short minutes from that meeting. Any questions about that or any observations? Councillor DC, yeah, please do.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, as I said, the minutes were fairly short, and really because so much would depend on WSP, the consultants have been appointed, so one feels that things have been a little bit on hold until that was cleared up. WSP have now taken the reins on this. They did hold a workshop on the 31st of July, and the second workshop to be held in early September, the 11th of September. The objective of that first workshop was to test and validate the Exmouth's key placemaking challenges, opportunities and vision. I did struggle a little bit with some of the language used, you know, as management speak a bit of it. And they were, their outcomes basically were, they were hoping that the findings would inform the vision setting and placemaking strategy. So we weighed the outcome, we weighed what the findings were of that exercise. It was fairly well attended, 40-50 people there, stakeholders, invited stakeholders. I did ask at the meeting whether it was they were after more strategic vision or whether they're after much more sort of ground level vision, if you like. And the response I had from WSP was that they have both. So, but it is ongoing. The next placemaking meeting is actually on the 12th of September. But as far as I have, very little more to report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Yes, I did go to the one on the 31st of July. It was very interesting. Yeah, filling in bits of paper. Councillor Scott.
It's not actually about this, but I don't have a slot on here. But about the beach wheelchairs, I just thought everybody would be interested on how many people have actually used them since April this year. 139 people have actually used the wheelchairs, and a lot of care homes are using them now. And so we still need some more volunteers, but I just thought people would be interested in actually how many people have actually used them this year.
Thank you.
Oh, I don't know if I say that, the lockers?
You can.
Yeah, now, you know, some time ago somebody asked if there'd be any lockers for swimmers down on the seafront so they could put their stuff in when they go onto the beach, because often dogs come along and people take things. And there's now 24 lockers installed at the R&R lifeboat station, and they're free to use. You just put them on the slot. So, you know, for all swimmers, just got to spread the word, because yeah, will help them get their things safely, keep them safe.
We need to advertise that well, actually. I did see a seagull helping itself to somebody's picnic the other day. That was quite entertaining.
Apart from the owner of the picnic.
Apart from the owner of the picnic, who was nowhere to be seen, as the seagull managed to get a sandwich out of some well wrapped tin foil. It was an interesting study on avian behaviour. Okay, district councillors' reports. I must admit I didn't do one this month. There's not much report. I don't think I've had that many meetings in the past month, or not that. Been very exciting. I don't think we've got anything there to report. We've had county councillors' report. We need to ratify the appointment of Councillor Louise Venables to the following working parties. She's the councillor we co-opted. You can see the list of working parties there: climate and ecological, public rights of way, waterfront, flooding and land drainage, and community organisation liaison panel. All in favour of, we need a proposer and seconder, sorry. Councillor Gazzard, Councillor DC, proposer and seconder, all in favour there.
Thank you.
Yeah, great, thank you.